You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. And every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about a wonderful organisation called WEN, who are accelerating gender equality in higher education, as well as lots of other wonderful work if you have a look at their social media and their website. And we're joined by the CEO and founder, Alice Chilver. So this is a Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming Alice to you after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. Today we're talking to a wonderful organisation called WEN, and we are talking about accelerating gender equality in higher education. So let's introduce you to their CEO and founder. Welcome, Alice, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So Alice, for those who aren't familiar with you, you as an individual and the organisation, introduce yourself and indeed the organisation.
Yeah, so I am called Alice. I live near Banbury. I am the mother of two boys, a six-year-old and a two-year-old. And 10 years ago, I founded my own business, WEN. At that time, I had a full-time role in higher education. I was working at University College London and then moved on to work at Oxford University. And I suppose WEN began as a side hustle for me that I was fortunate enough to be able to finally quit my day job at Oxford University last summer and step into the reins of full-time. So I founded WEN very deliberately and specifically to accelerate progress towards gender equality in UK higher education, because although great progress has happened, obviously gender equality is moving forward, we still have way, way far to go. And we don't want to be talking to our grandchildren about the same old gender inequality issues that we're facing today and talking to our friends about. We've got far better things to do with our time. So WEN's sole purpose and focus and mission is to accelerate gender equality across UK higher education.
Amazing, amazing. Such an important topic, which I'm absolutely fascinated to learn more about over the remainder of the show, as I'm sure our listeners are. The only non-business related thing we talk about on the show, and hopefully you're going to feel pressure here, Alice, is you've got to be a radio DJ just for a moment. So you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
It's a song by an artist called Self Esteem, Rebecca Lucy Taylor, and the song is Focus is Power. She's got an album out called Complicated Woman, and all the songs on the album and her other albums are brilliant, but most of the songs have a lot of swearing in them, and this one doesn't. And that's why I've chosen this specific song. But the reason why I've chosen one from Self Esteem is because she is a role model of mine. She is a woman who has been writing music in bands for all of her life and career. And she has been, for the majority of her career, side by side a man in her band. And a few years ago, she kind of broke free and said, this is it, I'm doing my own thing. And since she did that, her career has taken off. And it's just such a joy to see her become her true self and express herself exactly how she wants to. So that's why she's a role model of mine. And that's why it's a pleasure for me to choose her song and share that with Oxfordshire listeners this morning.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Alice, the CEO and founder of WEN, who are a wonderful organisation focusing on accelerating gender equality in higher education. Alice, I think one of the things we've really learned when presenting the show is that we shouldn't presume that our guests and our listeners are experts in other fields. So can we start with a really basic question? What is gender inequality, and what's the real problem out there? Do you mind painting that picture?
Yeah, so I'm sure you can imagine that there are workplaces and work environments that are run by men. And there aren't very many women there in those environments. And so those businesses are making key choices and decisions which affect the way that society runs, but from a male lens. They don't have diverse experiences in the world, they don't have diverse perspectives, and yet they're making key choices and decisions about things that are happening in society from their own perspective. So that's a problem for many different reasons. My specific focus in this area is on higher education, and I can make that more real for you by just describing a picture of the higher education landscape. So by higher education, I mean universities. So there are about 120 or so different universities across the UK. The majority of students in universities are women. The majority of senior leadership teams in universities are men. So why is that the case? And so gender inequality is about there being an unequal representation of men and women in all different functions across society. And what I'm looking at particularly is how that shows up in higher education.
And just in terms of that breakdown, what do you think is the reason that this is the case right now? What's the reason that there are more men in those positions?
Yeah, so men's and women's experiences in the world are very different, and there are different privileges that we each experience based on different elements of ourselves as human beings. Have you heard of something called unconscious bias?
Absolutely.
Yes. So the way that men experience the world and the way that women experience the world is very different. And we live in a patriarchal society where the rules of the game were written by old white men. And these men are still the referees of the game. And that is essentially what is going on. And that is not fair. And it's not okay. And it means that not everyone is able to thrive equally in society. So that's the crux of it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you. And I think I hope you don't mind me asking those questions. I thought it's really important to set the tone for our listeners. And just in terms of the work you do, you touched on it in the intro, but I'm just really keen to understand the work that you're doing, and really how can those listening at home and in their businesses, you know, what can we do to help?
Yeah, so across the higher education sector, which wouldn't be dissimilar across other sectors as well, what you see is that there are a lot of women employed in universities that are ambitious, that want to go far in their career, but for many different reasons can get stuck, their careers can get stagnated, and they can miss out on opportunities to progress in their career. And what happens is men seem to be, you know, marching through progression pathways, accelerating forward in their careers, and then dominating the senior leadership tables. So what we want to do and what we are trying to do is enable women to be able to look up to the senior leadership levels, see role models, aspire to be those leaders, and have the tools and the strategies to be able to keep progressing in the system. As well as that, though, it's not just about empowering women. There's nothing wrong with women. What's wrong is the systems within which we are all working. They're not working equally for all of us. They're working better for some of us. And gender isn't the only sort of privilege out there, right? So if you're taller, you're more privileged than if you're short. If you're straight, you're more privileged in this world than if you're gay. If you're fat, you are less privileged than if you are thin. You know, there's so many different layers of privilege that exist in our society, and gender is one of them. And if you happen to be black and be a woman, you're much less privileged than if you're a white woman. So that's the kind of things that are happening across the sector. What we can do about it is absolutely give women the tools, the strategies to get really focused, focus in on what's important to them in their career and move forward. But we also need to work with the systems, so with the universities in this case, with the entire higher education sector, to try to remove remove bias and unblock the barriers that are in the way. And for example, that might be looking at a promotions process. So all of our universities, as would many other organizations, would have career promotions processes. And somehow who gets through the promotions processes isn't always equal. So more men would be likely to succeed, for instance, in the career progression processes. So therefore, what's wrong with the promotions process? We break it down, we unpack it, we identify exactly what's wrong, where the criteria isn't clear enough, where some people might not understand the tools that they have to use the criteria properly, et cetera, et cetera. So my point is just that this is not about propelling women in their careers. Yes, we can do that, but without fixing also the system that is clearly not working, we won't really address what's going on. And WEN's vision in the world is for there not to, for us not to be needed. We don't want to see any gender equality initiatives across the higher education sector because we don't need them. The sector is a place where gender equality is the norm. It's not the ambition.
No, absolutely. And just in terms of that promotion piece, I would like to move to recruitment, if that's okay. Because of course, owning a recruitment business, of course I'm gonna mention recruitment. But what are some of the things that that we can do within higher education to ensure that actually from that first experience of a candidate, a female potential employee applying for a job, to have that really good, inclusive recruitment process to the point where they join an organisation and they get that fair opportunity to progress as we've touched on. Yeah, keen to go back one step there.
Yeah, well, one thing that is very important and that I see consistently across the sector is that women can be afraid to move roles, i.e. to apply for a new job, even within their own institution, and of course, moving to a different institution, because they might have got themselves to a place where they have a really good setup. They like their line manager. They know and trust and like their line manager. They have a comfortable set of arrangements around hours work, childcare, and those sort of needs are all clear and open and it's all working well. And they might have worked really hard for quite a number of years to get to that point.
Yeah.
The idea of walking away from that and taking a big risk that their new line manager and their new organisation might not have such understanding or flexible working arrangements, or just, you know, find themselves with a nice manager, because let's face it, you know, that's lucky if you've got a nice line manager, unfortunately, in many organizations today is still the case. So there's a risk that comes with moving. So one of the things that companies can do is to dispel those myths, to show prospective employees that what it's like to work in that organization, how line management is done, what a supportive and nurturing environment that it is that can be created to attract women in. And, you know, I've given myself quite a gendered answer to that question, implying that it needs to be supportive and nurturing and flexible. That's not the requirements of all women, but certainly that is a pattern that I see across the sector, which is one of the reasons that women do stay still sometimes in their careers.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think with my recruitment hat on, I think something that is so underrated is that every human is a human and every human is unique. And I think that it is so, so easy, isn't it, to sit in a boardroom or to presume what our staff or our potential staff are looking for to fit with their life. And I think it's really, really important to ask questions and to enable it to be a safe space in any form of recruitment. Sorry, I got my soapbox there.
Absolutely. And, you know, most businesses are run by men. most businesses, senior leadership teams are dominated by men. And just to give you an example, only a fifth of SMEs in the UK are led by women. So I'm not exaggerating, that is the reality. So I would say that if you're a man and you own a business, or if you're a man and you are on a senior leadership team, likely surrounded by majority other men, to ask yourself, is our company and is this an environment one that I would want my daughter to work in? And if not, why not? And what can you do about it? And how can you start taking action tomorrow, or better, today, to start to make your workplace and your work environment one which you would be proud and happy for your daughter to be stepping into their career and growing in their career within?
Absolutely. No, really good advice. Alice, thank you so much for your thoughts so far. Let's continue the conversation after this.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we are having a wonderful conversation with Alice, who's CEO and founder of WEN. And they're on a real mission to accelerate gender equality in higher education. Alice, something you touched on before that song was around challenging male business owners to challenge themselves and say, do we run a business, or do we run a team, or do we run a department where you'd be proud for your daughter to work in? And I'm keen to go back to that a little bit, in terms of a lot of our listeners will be parents. A lot of our listeners will, of course, want the best for their children. So what can we do as parents to help to support on the child side? What can we do to help our daughters, give them the best opportunity prior to getting to higher education? And what can we control our side?
Yeah, it's a great question, because let's face it, ideas about aspirations and opportunities throughout life are formed so young. I'm a mother, as I said, of a six-year-old and a two-year-old, and as much as I've tried to give them a gender-neutral experience of the world, my sons are obsessed with football and fighting and guns. Yeah, it's crazy. And the girls in his class, you know, their parties are princesses and fairies and unicorns. It's just kind of shocking to see it unfold in front of your eyes, the gendered experience that that children have in the world, and see it unfold so quickly and so seemingly kind of automatically. But of course, you know, there are so many influences in the world that are making that happen, despite what we're each in control of at home as parents. So I would say it's very important to, from a very, very young age, younger than you would ever think, to give your children all kinds of experiences and ideas about how the world works and how the world functions. So to help show them science and help show them nature, engineering, you know, even in sports, kind of like have them understand what goes on behind sports management events, sports coaching, sports physiotherapy, you know, all of those things, so that they can just try and get as full a picture of the world as they can. I think my fear and my observations is that we're all kind of like on this conveyor belt in life, aren't we? And unless something happens to us in our life which interrupts the trajectory that we've just landed on, then you know, then our destiny is kind of set out for us. But that doesn't have to be the case. So I think as parents, we can try our best to introduce different ideas and different things going on in the world to our children that they might get excited about, beyond what might ordinarily happen to them if they just stayed on their conveyor belt.
No, absolutely. No, really, really, really fascinating. And I'm just going to go on to the next step here. Of course, we aren't just higher education is one part of education. What can we do in primary and secondary education? What are some of the things that we can do there as institutes, but also for our students?
So I think it's very important that for students, for children, that they have a very clear sense of self, and that they're very confident and self-assured with who they are. And that stems from a sense of understanding and getting clarity on what their values are, which means what's important to them. So we need to help them to have conversations with their peers, with other adults about what's really important to you, so that they can start to recognize that, and then that translate into their behaviors, but also their aspirations and what kind of therefore impact that they might like to have and contribution they might like to make in the world. I think, you know, that's the kind of crux of the beginnings of it in terms of what we can do to help children to develop that sense of self at a very young age, which will be important to them throughout their whole lives. I think from a teacher's perspective, you know, it's a funny environment in schools, isn't it? Because most teachers are women, and yet there is a very large number of head teachers that are men. And it's, you know, I don't know the data around a secondary and indeed primary education around gender equality. From what I see, but from what I see of my own eyes, it's just a bit strange that it wouldn't be unusual to have a male head teacher when most teachers are women. Now, that's not a good thing when it comes to gender equality. What we need to see is more men being teachers. Young boys need to be able to see men being teachers. But young girls also need to see women being head teachers. It shouldn't be the norm that there are male head teachers. So, I mean, all of this is about, you know, about leadership, about role models representing all of us, not some of us. And so that comes back to my point about, you know, I'm slightly tongue in cheek, perhaps saying that, you know, old white men wrote the rules of the game and yet they're still refereeing the game. But, you know, the point is that how society works needs to represent all of us, not just some of us. And it cannot be and should not be and must stop being based on our privilege, which is nothing to do with who we are and how we behave. It's entirely outside of our control. And that's not fair.
No, totally, totally. Moving the conversation on slightly. On your website, you've got the time for change. 100 Black women professors now. Talk to our listeners about that.
Yeah, so this is a really, really good example of how it's totally possible to change the status quo. And we kind of got into a bit of a doom and gloom conversation there, didn't we? Didn't we, Ben? But I mean, the point is, yes, change is happening too slow. And yes, we live in a society that is still run by men. And we need to change that so we can live in a society where everyone can thrive. And it's totally possible to speed up this process. We don't have to. The UN estimates that it will take another 130 years to achieve gender equality. It doesn't need to. So in 2019, there were 25 Black women who were professors in the UK higher education institutions. And at the same time, to put that into context, there were 13,000 white men who were professors. So once we at WEN became aware of that, we became aware because there was a piece of research that was conducted, and the research interviewed the majority of those 25 Black women professors. How can we be an organization which is about accelerating gender equality if we do not pay attention to that and take very deliberate action to try to address that severe underrepresentation of Black women across the sector? So once we became aware of that, we mobilized into action, and we created a program to deliver systemic change across the sector. And it's called 100 Black Women Professors Now. Now, really, 100 Black Women Professors isn't enough either, but it was a serious step forward from where we started. So that program we designed and piloted in 2021. And today there are 88 Black women professors in the sector. So we were super excited to reveal that the program's impact has been more than tripling of the number of Black women academics, the number of Black women professors now in UK universities. So that's amazing and substantial progress. And we're really proud to be able to demonstrate that it's totally possible to change the status quo. We don't have to, go with what the UN says will happen and wait for 130 years to see the kind of progress that we need so urgently to see now. And I think, you know, to describe what WEN has done differently and why we've really been able to make a difference is that we were very specific with what we were trying to change. And I think a lot of gender equality initiatives can be a bit vanilla because they try to do everything at once. Whereas we believed that actually if we get really specific and take this intersectional lens, we can really be very defined about the change that we bring about. And the other thing, and it's something I touched on earlier, Ben, was about the systemic nature of the approach of our program. So this wasn't a program only for Black women academics, because there's nothing wrong with Black women academics, but we have been able to support them with the tools to get clear about where they're going in their career and how to get there. As well as that, though, we've been working with university vice chancellors, university senior leaders, HR, organizational development, you know, all of the key people across those institutions to really start to unpick what's going on and introduce a more sustainable and systemic level of change.
No, amazing, amazing. Really, really good insight. Let's have a song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, definitely head over to the Get Radio website. Because I think it's so important you listen back to this show. I think certainly, you know, I own a recruitment business and we like to think that we do everything possible to be inclusive. And I've already learned a great deal already, Alice. So thank you so much for that. So today we're joined by Alice, CEO and founder of WEN. And we're talking about accelerating gender equality in higher education. So Alice, I'm really keen to talk about your career accelerator. Talk to me about what is your career accelerator and how and what would that look like?
Yeah, so Career Accelerator is a two-day program where we bring together groups of women to focus sometimes the first time exclusively and deliberately on their career. So we spend 2 days really walking through what I would also refer to as like a strategic planning process for your career. So we start with conversations about so far, experiences so far, and then we get right into values, purpose, and support women to define a vision for themselves and their future career. And obviously, every single one of us, so it might be a 6-month plan for you, but it might be a 5-year plan for you. But whatever your position is and whatever your aspirations are, we help women to get clear on what does that stake in the future look like. And then from there, we help women to define what are the few things that you can do that would be important for you to achieve that next milestone. So we basically take that vision and then break it down into specific tangible goals and then translate those goals into action plans. So our Career Accelerator program is like a 2-day strategic career planning program for women working in higher education who might feel that they're stuck or they might feel that they've got ambitions that they're not sure how they're going to realize. We spend that time walking them through so that they leave with a crystal clear plan and a whole dose of confidence about their ability to also achieve that plan. After those 2 days, we then get back together 6 weeks and then 12 weeks later in a peer group coaching format where we check in with everyone, how it's been going, what challenges and issues might be facing back in the workplace and what they've achieved so that they can support one another as a cohort to really hold each other to account and keep going with their original intentions. One of the things that is unique about our program is that we don't just bring together a group of 30 women into a room and have one person at the front sort of giving some instructions. We work with women in small groups of six people, and each group has an executive career coach that spends time getting to know each person as an individual and making sure that they have the time and space to do good quality thinking. And that's the other unique thing about our programs, is that we create these clear, calm, and productive thinking environments. And if you think about it, when do you ever have the time to stop and think about you and your career and where you're going and how you're going to get there? We just are taught to say yes to all opportunities that come our way. And for a certain amount of time in our careers, that works really well, but not forever. And at some point, many of us kind of reach the point of overwhelm where we've said yes to everything. And then we're trying to also juggle childcare and caring responsibilities for elderly parents or whatever it is. And it's all too much. You just can't do everything. So we create the environment for women to really think and think clearly and think in a way where they're not interrupted and think in a way where they're actually really being listened to. And that thinking environment that we're able to create provides a lot of clarity and confidence and conviction for women to be able to then take the next steps in their career. Why this is different to other things that we've seen going on and why we created it is because there are plenty of initiatives out there to support women's leadership development, and that's great. And learning about different leadership styles and leadership theories and who you are as a leader is very important. But what we thought was missing out there was strategic career planning for progression. Like, what are you going to do next? What are the few things that you're going to concentrate on? How are you going to do it? So our work is very supportive and it's very complementative, but it's also very practical and tangible. Like, what next? What tomorrow?
Amazing. Amazing. No, really, really good insight. Let's move to the small business, if that's okay. I think we touched on this earlier in the show, but I think that a lot of our listeners are small business owners, male and female. And I think that if anything like me, they've been totally inspired by your work and really your real passion to make that positive change. What would be your advice to small business owners listening? What can small business owners do to help with this positive change, both within their own organisations, but also within that wider positive change to our culture and the world of work?
Yeah, so I think I would love to see more small business owners supporting other small business owners, first and foremost. And I think being very deliberate about how you do that and making sure that the other small business owners you're supporting are diverse themselves. Don't just work with everyone who looks entirely like you, which, by the way, is our human default to do. We feel we have a tribal instinct, and you know, it's no surprise that, you know, if you do a call out for people to come and work with you, everyone who shows up probably looks exactly like you. So be very deliberate, be very intentional about making sure that you surround yourself with different types of people, and so that you can take advantage of that as well, because we know the research all tells us that by surrounding ourselves with different types of people, with different types of experiences, we will be able to think differently, we will be able to innovate more, we will be able to be more productive, more effective, et cetera, et cetera. There are so many different benefits for our businesses from being more diverse and being more open-minded. So I think that supporting other small business owners and making sure that those business owners themselves are diverse is an important first step. I think actually my key advice and my key learning over this year for any small business owner is to never keep your eye off the cash flow, because fundamentally we cannot function as small business owners if we haven't got a healthy cash flow and cash balance. And that would be the one thing I've learned over this year, stepping into running my own business as for the first time, is about financial control and cash flow management. They are the fundamentals that we have to take care of before anything else.
Great advice. It's one of the things that upsets me so much is that 50% of charities don't make their first year. And actually, we had a really great show probably about 100 shows ago now. And the real key, so we had Rick of Raw, and a really great point, but so simple, is every charity sets up to do really great work. But actually, if you don't have the money to do the really great work, it's going to stop. And I know it's so simple, but it's really, really, really great advice. Alice, we are coming right to the very end of the show. But one of the things we love to leave our listeners with is like a lasting top tip. You've given tips throughout the whole of the show. So you can, by all means, use one that you've used already and just ask our listeners to highlight it in their notepad, or something I've not asked you about that you think would be really good to consider. But what would be your lasting top tip?
I think it's to whoever you are, man or woman, to take a moment to think about where you are in your career versus where you want to be, and then to try to define two key things that you could prioritize to help you to get to where you want to be.
Great advice. That is the end of the show. So thank you so much to my wonderful guests. I've had Alice Chilver, CEO and founder of WEN, who are on a real mission to accelerate gender equality in higher education and doing some wonderful work in that space. So thank you, Alice. Just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. You can also listen to the podcast version, which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, so you can see my lovely guests, which is launched on the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. We are going to be back next week with some brand new guests and a brand new topic. So next week, we're talking about human resources and de-escalating workplace disputes. So it'll be a really interesting one. And to do that, we're joined by Heidi Black of Heidi Black HR, Ian Farringdon of ProDev UK Limited, and Alex Walker of Flint Change. But for now, whatever you're doing with your Sunday, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.